Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the partial government shutdown drags on, the conversation in Washington is about whether or not to build a wall. But our next guest says we shouldn't be building a wall, but rather walls of houses, as the U.S. faces a housing shortage like it has never seen before. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from New York, as he does each Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hello, Jeremy.
So set the scene for us, first of all. How bad is the housing shortage in this country, and why is it happening?
So we've heard a lot, and deservedly so, about America's last housing crisis, the housing crisis that led us into the Great Recession, that came out of too much debt and too much financial wizardry. Today's housing crisis is simpler. There just aren't enough homes. After the Great Recession, the adult population kept growing. Millennials entered their 20s, their 30s, but construction spending fell. So in 60 years of record keeping by the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, home building per household has never been lower. We are in a construction recession still. And as a result, you have all these 20-somethings and 30-somethings who can't afford the homes that are available today. Home ownership among the millennial generation has actually plunged to a 60-year low. So you put it all together and you just don't have enough homes. And the scarcity of homes has led to an enormous growth in average home prices. Mm-hmm. And this is bad for the U.S. economy.
When you say construction recession, what are the reasons for that, and how much is it tied to the fact that the construction industry, as you point out, relies heavily on immigrant labor and there are fewer immigrants going into construction?
Exactly right. So first, you don't have enough homes. Second, there aren't enough construction workers. In part, that's because, as the Wall Street Journal and others have reported, native-born Americans, for a variety of reasons, don't seem as interested in becoming cement masons or carpenters anymore. And as a result, if native-born Americans aren't going to do the job of building houses, well, perhaps we should have immigrants do the job of building houses. Immigrants account for 25% of the construction labor force already, up to 40% of the construction labor force in states like New York and California. But we need to allow more immigrants to come in to do the work of building houses so that we can relieve the household affordability crisis. So right now we have a sort of we have all sorts of problems that are coming together. We have a scarcity of homes, a scarcity of construction workers, and on the demand side, too much student debt on the part of these millennials so they can't afford the homes that exist. There's a lot of problems here, but they need to be solved all at the same time, or else a lot of these sort of warning lights that are going off about an upcoming recession, they could actually lead to that downturn that so many economists have foreseen.
There's one other thing that is probably figuring into this, which is the trade war and tariffs and the effect that it is having, that those tariffs are having on the cost of supplies, lumber and steel.
Right. If you want to make lumber or steel more affordable, the last thing you should be doing is trying to invoke a trade war against all of your trading partners. But even more serious than the trade war has been the immigration war. And as I said in this piece, the president, who has to be concerned about his 2020 reelection chances with all of these warning signs going off about an upcoming recession, he needs to be serious about making sure the economy is still growing into 2020. Well, if he's really concerned, he shouldn't be waging a war against immigrant labor. He should be finding a way to welcome more immigrants into this country in a legal way so that they can participate in a construction labor force which is seeing this shortage. It's really, really important, I think, to think systematically about all of this, because if you don't have as many homes, it hurts not just Trump voters, but all young voters, particularly those that increasingly are turning against the president.
Now, we have a federal department. Now, the government's shut down at the moment, but we have a federal department called the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And are the Trump administration's policies doing anything about this problem that you have pointed out?
No, they're doing close to nothing. It's remarkable the degree to which the Trump administration has actually suggested slashing HUD's funding, which would hurt the amount of affordable housing that's being built. The federal government has tools to fix this problem. I mean, yes, housing tends to be a local issue, but the federal government has tools. It can subsidize the construction of new affordable housing. It can subsidize low-income homeowners or low-income renters as well. But it's not doing enough. It's not doing doing enough to ensure that the construction industry and the housing industry, which is one of the most important motors of the U.S. economy, is running at full speed. And if we don't get it up to running at full speed, then it makes it more vulnerable to the kind of shocks that we're beginning to see.
Derek, when you zoom out and look at this problem historically, do you think that it's going to make sense that after the housing bubble burst a decade ago, that it was followed by a retreat, that we're in the opposite problem now?
I think historians looking at this moment in 20 years are going to say that America at this point was a land of extremes. It was a land of extremes if you look at the White House, the fact that we went from Obama to Trump. But it was also a land of extremes if you look at the housing sector, that we went from one of the most frothy go-go periods of construction in American history in the early 2000s to essentially a housing recession in the 2010s. We went from building too many homes, handing out too many loans, being too easy with housing policy, to suddenly constricting and hurting the economy by being too conservative. We need to find that right middle point, both in politics and in housing.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic, thanks as always.
Thank you.